It's how we worship him and praise him together. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 14. Thank you so much for being in the house of the Lord today. Praise God. You may have aches and pains. You may have a busy schedule. You may have other things you'd like to be doing on a beautiful day like today. But thank you for taking time to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I believe the Lord has made it worthwhile already. Praise God. Amen. And still more to come. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. They were in a storm. And in the fourth watch of the night, to make it worse, it was nighttime, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. And they didn't know who it was. They said, "It's a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them. Oh, it's so good to hear him, isn't it? So good to hear his voice. Praise God and to know his presence. He said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter, God bless Peter. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Praise God. Wouldn't it be amazing to be a water walker? Have to stand on the bank at Brother Don's and walk right out there and club those fish. Praise God. That'd be amazing. But it's impossible. Unless you're Jesus and unless he calls you. Praise God. And if he does, step out. Amen. Oh, much easier said than done. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this story has all the potential of being a disaster. The boat could have swamped. It could have overturned. And however many disciples were aboard, if there were all 12 of them or if there was just a portion of them, a rescue operation that may have ended in a body recovery, it has all the makings of a disaster. But the Lord stepped in. Now, in Alaska, we are quite familiar with boat sinkings, airplane crashes, highway mishaps. They happen all around us, and especially in the summer with the high traffic times, not only on the highways, but boats on the water and planes in the sky, there is that potential. I read in the newspaper, and you may have seen the article as well, about a disaster that happened on Skelak Lake in 1974. Some of you were here during that time and may have remembered. 10 people in a 24-foot riverboat up on the upper end of Skelak and the lake. They spent the day up there fishing on the banks, and the family of the boat owner, some friends and their kids made up the 10 that were on that riverboat. When they finished the day fishing, they started back down to Skelak Lake. Now, Skelak, you're familiar with it, 15 miles long, 2 miles wide, up to 500 feet deep. It's quite a lake. And the boat returned to the lake after all day fishing in the river. Cruising on the lake, everything going well, but a sudden wind came up, generating 5 to 6 foot waves. And the riverboat not made to handle those kinds of conditions, and it swamped. all 10 now in the water, 9 wearing flotation devices, and only 3 made it to shore. One had to climb a cliff and got up on top and in hypothermic conditions trying to hike to a place where there would be rescue. 2 made it to a small cove, and the one hiking up on the cliff was able to look down into the cove and see them and be reunited. Those were the 3 that survived, rescued by a helicopter that came and took them out of that rugged part of the shoreline and the upper part of Skelak Lake. More recently, in 2009, the Tustamina Lake tragedy that took place, and you could remember the names, no doubt. A father, his 2 teenage daughters, and 2 friends were aboard that boat, 5 of them, heading to a cabin across Tustamina Lake, and the boat swamped. And 3 of the girls survived in that cold, cold water. Made it to the shore, made it to a cabin, another cabin, and built a fire, and they survived. These lakes can suddenly turn treacherous. They're beautiful, they're placid sometimes and peaceful, but all of a sudden it can change so quickly through high winds and waves. And you don't, the ocean, of course, has its stories as well of boats capsizing or going down, regardless of the size. Huge crab fishing boats and trawlers going down in terrible storms, or people being swept over the side because of the stormy seas that they're working in. So the Sea of Galilee story is something perhaps that we can relate to here in Alaska. The Sea of Tiberias, it was also called, apparently because of the Roman habitation, Roman domination. They changed the name of it in the northern part of Israel. But the disciples are in the boat attempting to cross. And in John 6, it says they were on their way to Capernaum. Now, to cross from Tiberias to Capernaum, it was quite a distance. The Sea of Galilee is 7.5 miles wide and 17 miles long. And strong winds and big waves are not necessarily common, but have happened. In fact, there's a weather report from March of 1992 that reported 10-foot waves on that lake. 10-foot, that's pretty high. A small boat would have trouble with waves half that size. And here are the disciples in that boat. Now, they're experienced men on the water. Some of them are, anyway. Some of them are fishermen who make their living on the water. And Jesus made comment about watching the weather a couple of times. He said, "You see clouds arise from the west, you know there's going to be showers. You feel a wind from the south, you know it's going to be warm." In one instance, he made mention of that. Then another time he said, "You see the sky red in the evening, and you know there's going to be fair weather the next day. Or if the morning sky is red, you know that there's a possible storm coming." And that may be where the common saying came from, "Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in morning, sailor take warning." And maybe it's based on that scripture, or obviously from the experience of fishermen or people who have been on the water. Jesus chided them for being able to predict weather, being able to forecast what is coming based on the signs that they see in the sky, but they had no spiritual discernment. They weren't aware of what was most important, that which was spiritual in the impact on their lives. And in this situation, it was the fourth watch. The fourth watch is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Very dark. Very much a situation where All they could see was the foam on the waves and the crashing crests of those waves as it beat against their boat. They had rowed 25 to 30 furlongs, which is about 3.5 miles, again, from John 6. That distance could be determined. So how did Jesus see them? The curvature of the earth hides objects that are just about 3 miles away, and you can't see them. That's why navigation aids are usually up high, so that they can be seen at a greater distance. But where they were, just from someone standing on the shore, you're not able to see them because they've gone beyond the curvature of the earth. Oh, but Jesus was on a mountain. He could see a greater distance then. Yes, he could, if it was daylight. But in this case, it was dark, 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I'm thankful that the scripture says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Praise God. I'm thankful for the power of the Lord. I remember reading about Hagar in a survival situation, much like the disciples, except she was in the desert with no water. They were in a lake with water all around. But Hagar, nonetheless, in a survival situation, and the Lord made a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water for her and her son Ishmael. Now, 14 years before that, Ishmael is a 14-year-old young man by this time. 14 years before that, she ran away from Abraham and Sarah when she was pregnant with Ishmael. And an angel came to her at a place by a fountain of water in the wilderness and began to tell her what was going to happen with her son Ishmael. And Hagar then said, "Thou, God, seest me." And she then understood that the Lord is an all-seeing God, and Jehovah Roi was then coined as a name for the Lord, El Roi, or Jehovah Roi. God is seeing. I'm glad he can see you. I'm glad he can see your circumstances. I'm thankful he can know your needs, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial. God sees it all. Amen. And we can put our trust in him. But walking on the water, that's incredible. There's a water strider or a water skimmer that can scoot across the surface of the water and not break the water tension. And they are sometimes called Jesus bugs. There's a lizard in South America called the Jesus Christ lizard. It can run on the surface of the water. Now, I hope those are named after the Lord, and not in a mockery, but just in recognition of what he did. That wouldn't be politically correct today, would it? But who else walked on the water? Amen. For a man, for you and I to stay on the surface of the water, we would have to run 67 miles an hour. Usain Bolt, the Olympic gold winner, retired yesterday, ran 27.79 miles an hour. Wow, that is getting with it. But it's impossible to run three times that speed so that you could stay on the surface of the water. But Jesus, praise God, Jesus walked to the disciples in the middle of the lake. Now, to walk 3.5 miles, they've rowed those 25, 30 furlongs, 3.5 miles. To walk that 3.5 miles at 3 miles an hour, and that's about my top speed, and get on the treadmill, and the program, you know, is walking along, warming you up, and then it goes up in increments and increments, and when it hits 4 miles an hour, it's my little legs are having to trot at that point. Some of you can stride out that speed at no problem. But to walk at 3 miles an hour, a distance of 3.5 miles takes 70 minutes. Did Jesus take all that time to walk with them? No, he could appear just like that. Amen. He could be right there in the midst. He's not a magician, but he can appear and disappear just like that. And he could have gone from the mountain to the midst of the lake in that short period of time as well. Whatever it was, here he is walking on the water. Now the disciples, some of them fishermen, nonetheless fearful because of the waves and the wind that was contrary to them. Circumstances sometimes are going to be contrary to your plan, to your purpose, to your goals, to your ambition. Some things are going to work against you, and probably not a whole lot you can do about it. But thank God, Jesus can come walking on those circumstances. Those disciples probably shouting to be heard, shouting to one another, and the wind and the waves making a lot of racket. And now, in addition to their shouting instructions or shouting encouragement or shouting in their despair, whatever it was that was going on, now they're crying out in fear. If there had been a scare scale attached to their hearts, it hit a huge spike right then. Because what is that? It's a spirit. Oh, no. A spirit coming to take us. And I wonder, did Jesus walk down in the trough of those waves and then back up on the crest? Or did he just kind of take long steps from crest to crest, of wave to wave? I'm not sure how he did that. But faith and fear were definitely being mixed there. And Jesus said, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Oh, I'm thankful we can hear him say that in our situations. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. There's several be and be not portions of Scripture. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not carried away by strange doctrines, but be established with grace. Be not afraid, neither be troubled, but be ready always to give an answer, the reason of the hope that is within you. Praise God. I'm thankful that the Lord knows how to work with those circumstances. Peter sees him walking on the water, as well as all the other disciples. Peter knew him to be Lord. He's the Lord of multiplying loaves and fishes. He's the Lord who can heal diseases. He's the Lord even over death and can call people forth in a resurrection. Lord, he says, bid me come unto thee on the water. That's quite a request. That's quite a prayer. But the Lord who said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Amen. The Lord who held a little child on his lap and said, let them come unto me. The Lord who said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Talking about the Spirit of God. The Lord said to Peter, come. Amen. Just a very simple come. Amen. Peter climbed out of the boat, walking on the plank without a plank. Praise God. Out on the water. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. I think that's the key. He was on his way to Jesus. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the Lord delights in people setting their focus on him. He desires them to continue in their walk with him. He wants people to keep their eyes upon him. Praise God. And that's why I believe Peter was able to walk on the water. Not so that he could brag about it. We really don't even hear Peter brag about it or make mention of it or try to encourage people's faith or his own faith by having walked on the water. He simply knows that walking towards the Lord is going to be a result of tremendous things that are going to happen. Praise God. Oh, what faith. that would take, what faith would cause him to step out and take those steps upon the water. Someone said the definition of faith is climbing out on a limb and sawing it off and watching the tree fall. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Doubt and fear would cause him to turn his eyes off of Jesus on the wind and the waves. And oh, thank God when he kept his focus on the Lord. When you make your way to Jesus, when you keep your eyes on him, when you desire to go to Jesus, he will help you do many things that seemed impossible by the faith that is in him. Thank God we can put our eyes on him. We can desire him. We can walk with him and we can know his power. I wonder how many times, now, nowhere in the record does it say Peter told the others or reminded them, I walked on water. But how many times did he look at his feet and remember that he walked on water? How many times again was he on a boat crossing the sea, and they no doubt traversed it many, many times, and probably he continued his occupation as a fisherman. Well, we know he did several times, again, walking or fishing on the water. How many times did he remember that night? Praise God. Oh, it's good to recall in your mind and in your heart the times that the Lord was there for you. It's good to remember the times the Lord did the impossible for you. Praise God. He ministered, he blessed, he provided. And Peter walked with the Lord for about 3.5 years. But when the Lord was arrested, he ran. Fear. He walked into the judgment hall where the Lord was being tried and mistreated. And he denied the Lord those 3 times. Then he walked out in tears. But 3 days later, praise God, he ran to the empty tomb to see if the report was accurate. Yes, it is empty. Yes, he's gone. Yes, he's alive. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. How much lighter was Peter's step when the Lord extended that forgiveness to him? How much happier was he to be able to walk with the risen Lord, amen, for 40 days and know his power over death and hell and the grave. Praise God. And Peter walking to the Mount of Olives with the Lord and watching him ascend up into heaven, into the clouds. And then he turned and walked with the others a Sabbath day's journey to Jerusalem. Praise God, realizing that that journey, that those steps, that walk was going to bring him into a freedom and a liberty that he had never known before. And the power of God demonstrating his goodness in a wonderful way as he received the Spirit of the Lord along with 120 who were in the upper room talking in tongues, magnifying God, speaking about his wonderful works. Praise God. And Peter standing up with the 11, preaching a powerful message from the word of the Lord, and 3,000 more were added to the church as they repented and were baptized and received the Spirit. Praise God. Days later, or however long it was, he and John walking to the temple, seeing the lame man lying there, speaking to him and saying, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he saw the man leap. He saw the man walk. He heard the man praising God, and I believe Peter couldn't stand it. He had to join in. He had to do a little shuffle. He had to do a little dance. Praise God. He had to worship the Lord along with the man who was healed. Oh, praise God. I don't know if he rode in a chariot down to Samaria, but he walked into that place where Philip was having revival, and he saw the Spirit of God poured out in a wonderful way. Amen. No doubt again, some conveyance, some means of transportation to Cornelius' house. But when he walked in and he heard Cornelius tell about the angel directing him to send for a preacher named Peter, and Peter began to preach, and the Holy Ghost fell on all who heard the word of God, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Oh, praise God. I'm thankful, and I know he was as well, that he took those steps with the Lord, that he walked in faith all of those years with God. He walked to the paralyzed man named Aeneas and told him, arise. He walked to Tabitha's deathbed and told her the same thing, arise. And they both did. Disease and death could not hold them back. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that we can walk in that same spirit. We can walk in that same obedience. We can walk in that same power and know that God will heal. God will deliver. God will provide. God will bless. Amen. Peter walked out of prison because the God of deliverance desires to deliver people today. Oh, there are many who are in cells and jails of addiction. They're in cells of depression. They're having difficult times in their families and in their marriage. But our God is a God of deliverance. Our God is a God who opens prison doors. Our God is a God who brings freedom. He brings liberty. He brings power. He brings deliverance. Praise God. Praise God. And Peter is walking on streets of gold right now. Amen. When my battles have been won. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll lay my praises around your throne. And there's Peter. Praise God. And so many others who walked with God. Amen. How about your walk with the Lord? How about your place in your service unto the Lord, walking in obedience to his word, repentance, baptism, receiving his spirit, obeying the word of God, walking in the overcoming power of the Spirit of God and of his wonderful word and all the promises that are there. Keep walking towards God. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. Don't be afraid of the storm. He's the Lord of the storm. Praise God. Keep going. Keep going. And let the Lord minister to you. Let the Lord provide for you. Let the Lord bring you through. Because eventually, according to the word of God and to his promise, you're going to be walking on streets of gold. Praise God. Amen. You're going to be hearing that praise in all of those different languages. You're going to be hearing the thank yous and the worship and the praise unto the Lord in every tongue. Hallelujah. And exalting the Lord. Praise God. And how incredible to be there with somebody that you helped walk with the Lord, that you helped pray and see the deliverance of God, that you instructed and taught the word of God to be baptized and receive the Spirit. Praise God. Oh, yes. I'm going to keep on walking with you. Amen. Amen. Let's stand today. Overcoming power, miraculous power that the Lord is able to bring forth. Blessed power that he's able to share with you. It's his power, it's his word, it's his spirit. We know we're complete in him. Praise God. That's why we keep our focus on him. Amen. We desire him more than anything. And then his power is displayed on your behalf. Amen. Oh, I want to walk with you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to continue with you, Lord. I want to worship you, Lord. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to work for you, Lord. I want to live for you, Lord. We use all of those terms. And they're accurate. They're realistic. but they've got to become real for you. Amen. Amen. Lord, bid me come unto thee. Praise God. Oh, man, what's it going to be like to hear the trumpet, to hear the shout, and the Lord himself descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ rise first, and then we which are alive and remain caught up, together to meet the Lord in the air. Bid me come to you, Lord. Praise God. Keeping our focus on him. Can we come and pray today? Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.